40. The Temple. Octavia was awakened by a tickling sensation on her leg. Still in a dreamy fog, she wondered if it was Modo, then thought, he'd never tickle her leg. He wasn't brave enough. She opened her eyes, lifted her head from her rolled-up blanket, and caught her breath. A spider the size of her fist was crawling up her leg, the hairs on its dark body white in the moonlight. She held still, out of wisdom, not fear. "You've seen worse things in London sewers," she told herself. The problem was, she didn't quite know what to do. She wanted to swat it away, but couldn't remember what Mr. Socrates had said about spiders. Would hitting it make it sting her? They bit, that much she remembered. Best to just lie still and hope it would go away. It reached her thigh and rambled, almost drunkenly, toward her midsection. Would the thing leap at her face? She held her breath. Then a hand appeared out of the darkness and lay, palm up, on her stomach.
"Don't move," Lizzie whispered.
The spider crawled onto her fingers and up her arm.
"This one ain't poisonous," she said,
guiding it onto a palm tree frond. The spider crawled away.
"Thank you,"
Octavia said.
"I wasn't frightened."
Lizzie smiled.
"No, you weren't. For a London town girl, you're doing well enough."
She extended her hand and helped Octavia to her feet.
"Pack up.
Mr. Socrates has already given orders to move out." Then, before she was really awake, Octavia found herself marching along in line. She wolfed down a few biscuits on the go. "No speaking above a whisper," Mr. Socrates instructed. "We're likely in the area of the temple now, and we'll no doubt be running into patrols." Since it would be too loud to hack a comfortable path, they were forced to follow the natural trails of the jungle, sometimes crouching and crawling through the vines and leaves. Octavia promised herself that when they got back to Sydney, she'd give Mrs. Finchley a big hug for making the trousers. And she'd buy her a glass of wine, too. No, a whole bottle. As they crossed a narrow, rocky stream, Octavia slipped on one of the stones and caught herself before she could go head first into the water. She was getting exhausted, and Mr. Socrates showed no sign of wanting a break. The old man was a slave driver. But she had to admit he was a lot tougher than she'd ever imagined. On the other side of the stream, she spotted a human footprint in the mud.
"Psst,"
she said to the others, and pointed.
"The rain people," Lizzie whispered. 3 days old. You can tell just by looking."
Lizzie smiled for the first time that day.
"No, but if I say it with enough confidence, you Sterling believe it."
Octavia had to stop herself from laughing.
"What do you mean by Sterling?" "In Australia we call ourselves by currency, so you English are Sterling. Understand?"
"But I'm only a few farthings," Octavia quipped. Mr. Socrates shot them both a perturbed glance, so they climbed on quietly. The path gradually became steeper. Here and there stones jutted out of the earth. Octavia had never sweated so much or been bitten by so many insects. She itched, she was tired, and she wished she hadn't thrown the teapot out of the Prince Albert. She couldn't even take comfort in a cup of tea. Tharper had scouted ahead and now returned, quiet as a cat. His eyes were bright with excitement. He led them up to a rocky ledge and pushed aside the vines and fronds. Octavia was surprised to discover that they'd actually climbed quite high. They were looking down at a plateau where there was still evidence of the foundations of an ancient city. Overgrown obelisks and pillars stood up here and there, but the rest of the city had been pulled down by time and the jungle vines. Beyond these ruins, the sun shone bright on the face of a small mountain. Grey-clad soldiers were working in the distance, busy as ants, carrying supplies up a set of stone stairs that led past something that looked like a great stone lion.
"So the temple exists," Mr. Socrates whispered. "Marvellous!
And judging by the colour on the Sphinx, the Egyptians actually carried limestone all the way here. I presume it's from the coast. They were amazingly industrious."
Sir, Octavia said. "You do see all the soldiers over there, don't you?"
Mr. Socrates shrugged.
a minor nuisance. Had he gone mad, or was he just playing with her?
Even from this distance, Octavia could see that the sides of the doorway into the temple were ragged, as if it had been blown apart. Many of the trees around the temple had been chopped down, and there were a few dozen guild soldiers right below them, their white tents bright against the dark green. All were armed. The Prometheus was docked on a large flat rock, tied down with ropes. Several soldiers patrolled the perimeter of the grounds, large hounds at their sides. Octavia had encountered the four-legged monsters before, part metal, part flesh. She didn't want to get near them again. "Looks like they've been camped here for weeks," Mr. Socrates said. "Enough time to get well set up.
And to die."
Tharpa was pointing at a small graveyard located on the near side of the settlement. No crosses, but each mound was marked with large black stones. Mr. Socrates pondered. Sickness, perhaps? Or conflict with the natives?
"The Rhine people are peaceful," Lizzie said.
"Yes, perhaps. But the guild are not. And sometimes these conflicts occur despite our better natures." Octavia spotted red hair. Miss Hackandotti was walking alongside a row of crumbled stone buildings, overgrown with vines and small trees. Octavia pointed her out.
"With one shot from the elephant gun, we could end this now."
"Yes, and then we would be swarmed and killed," Mr. Socrates said. "Besides, the gun is only effective at close range." Octavia watched Miss Hackandotti helplessly as she strode through the camp. She signalled to one soldier. She spoke. He saluted, and ran off to do her bidding.
"That's what power is," Octavia thought. "Powerful people attract followers. They're decisive."
"We'll have to travel farther around the site," Mr. Socrates said. "We don't want to take them head on."
"When will we enter the temple?" Lizzie asked.
"Tonight," he answered.
"When it's dark, we'll sneak in."
"You'll have to be a lot quieter," a voice said from above. Octavia whipped out her stiletto. Mr. Socrates aimed his elephant gun toward the voice and cocked the hammers on both barrels.
"I have you in my sights," he said. "Now, who said that?" The leaves rustled, and a figure lowered itself, then swung from the tree to the ground in front of them.
The familiar stocky shape, the crooked back, the wild African mask.
"Modo!"
Octavia sheathed her knife and ran to throw her arms around him. But she was stopped in her tracks when three muscular men dropped out of the trees behind Modo, spears pointing at her.